Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q3 FY23 conference call of Craftsman Automation Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Srinivasan Ravi, Chairman and Managing Director of Craftsman Automation Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good afternoon, everybody, and thank you very much for joining this earnings call. I will just give a brief introduction on the last quarter performance. The Q3 volumes on the powertrain were good, on the aluminum segment were poor. Because of that, I think we have seen overall growth, but not so much, not a good quarter for the aluminum business. The demand for automobiles has been quite stable, and I just want to give a comparison nine-month figure on a year-to-year. The turnover was 2,195 crore. This was last year, full year we did 2,206. Nine months PBT is 259, which is more than last year's full year PBT. Nine months PAT has been 167 crore, which is higher than the 160 crore PAT of the full year. EBITDA for the nine months has been 499. It is slightly lower than the full year figure of 537, but much higher than the 380 crore for the corresponding period for the nine months. CapEx is at 259 crore, mainly maintenance CapEx and technological improvement. All the key financial parameters improved overall, while we consider the DR acquisition borrowing separately. If it is added to that and then we look at the correct numbers, I would say debt equity is 0.82. Debt to EBITDA is 1.6. If you are removing the acquisition finance, the debt to EBITDA will be also around 1.3. EBITDA margin is 23% overall for the nine-month period. Last year, full year it was 24%. EBIT margin has been 15%. For the last full year has been 15% also. PBT is 12% for nine-month period, comparably 11% for the full last year. PAT margin has been 8% for these nine months, and the comparable full year has been 7%. The ROCE pre-tax annualized has improved to 23% in comparison for the 20% last year for the full year. ROE annualized is 18% and last year was 15%. EPS not annualized is 79.24. For last year it has been 75. The nine-month segment for the auto powertrain, it has grown by 39%. It has grown to 817 crore to 1,134 crore. Aluminum segment has grown from 385 to 544, but on a quarter-to-quarter there is some decline on the aluminum segment. Industrial engineering segment has grown 48% year-on-year, 350 to 517. Storage business has added, achieved a turnover of 279. Previous year-to-date December was 188, so we had a 48% growth. Automotive powertrain segment EBIT has grown by 33%, 218 to 289. Aluminum segment EBIT has grown for the nine-month period from 30 crore to 42 crore, that is 38%. Industrial engineering EBIT has grown from 13 crore to 44 crore. That is quite significant absolute in percentage. I leave the floor open for question and answers. Please.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone wishing to ask a question may please press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is on the line of Jinesh Gandhi from Motilal Oswal Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Hi. Can you share value add for each of the three segments?
Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Gandhi. Sir, your audio is very loud. Can you speak a little softer or decrease the volume on your phone?
Sure.
Thank
can you,
so
you can you share value add for each of the segments?
For the quarter, Mr. Gandhi?
For the quarter. Yeah.
For the auto powertrain, it has been 249. Aluminium has been 61.5.
Okay.
And industrial engineering has been
58.3. 58.3. Okay. Got it. And what is the reason for such a sharp drop in margins for the aluminium business? I mean, this is second quarter in a row where we are seeing drop despite aluminium prices also being soft.
Yes, I will answer that logically and what is the actual situation. We had a first good quarter. Q1 has been very good on the aluminium business, extraordinary quarter. On Q2, we had a declining aluminium prices and normally the pipeline inventory will be there a little so that the adjustment happens in real time, but the stock cannot be adjusted for the lower value. So we had some drop for the Q2 and the aluminium prices continued to drop on the Q3. So we couldn't rebound. If the price had been stable, we would have rebounded. Our price had been increased with a cost and benefit, but still it didn't happen there also. The operating leverage has come down quite substantially in Q3. We had a top line reduction of 20 crore, even though our gross margin or value addition has been, as a percentage, has been more or less same. The top line reduction of 20 crore resulted in 8-9 crore of practically the value addition reduction, which is actually reflected in the EBITDA absolute number. And such a low base on the top line, the 8 crore has got a big impact to look at if we look at the percentage. But absolutely, it's only 8 crore. And we are now seeing stable aluminium prices or increasing aluminium prices. So I am not worried about that particular factor for Q4. On a year basis, I think we will be far, far better on this.
Okay. And in the third quarter, what would have been our utilization level in the aluminium?
Sorry
business?
To interrupt, Mr. Gandhi. Sir, may we request you to use the handset mode while speaking? Your audio is not clear.
Sure. Is it better?
Much better, sir. Thank you.
Yeah. What would be the utilization rate for the aluminium business in the quarter and for 9 months?
I think the top line is showing that already we are operating around 60% odd. I think it has come down below that. In Q4, there are two aspects which are unique to that quarter. One is the festive season. So we'll have October very steep ramp up. I mean September, October, and I hope that festive season will pick up. But in October end, I think the call will be taken by the customers to either slow down production or continue the production at that rate, depending on the actual sale. So, and we saw that the sale didn't pick up. And then we have the festive holidays. So there is also a disruption. There is a cost there also. And the inventory was still available for the OEMs, especially if you're heavily dependent on two-wheeler. You may understand that around 70% is still dependent on two-wheeler, close to 70% on the aluminum product segment. There, the plant shutdowns also, annual shutdowns have happened. So this has put an pressure. Normally in Q3, even last year Q3 has not been great for us. We have always been performed on Q4 far, far better. This is the fundamental there.
Okay, so 60% is for the 9 months utilization or for third quarter?
Yes, if you look at it, it is average for 9 months, it's 60%, but for Q3 it would have been much lesser.
Okay. And lastly, can you talk about DR Exion acquisition? What was your thought process behind acquiring an aluminium business? What do you expect out of it? Throw more light on that.
As you may know that whatever is on public domain, only those numbers I can give because everything else will come post the actual takeover, which is going to happen shortly. It is only in the legal formalities going on. Everything is going smoothly. That is the good news. But I would like to speak
more than numbers, more so about your thought process on how the deal is.
I will speak more broadly because the DR Axion management in Korea and we will come out with a joint statement, and we are going to jointly cooperate also in the future. So I will not like to make far-reaching statements without the, I would say, the continuing shareholder, I would say. It is going to be a subsidiary of Craftsman, clear, but there will be a continuing shareholder. There will be strategic cooperation between us. Having said that, consolidated basis, if you look at the next financial year, if you look at it, will be more than 60% will come from the passenger vehicle segment. So that is a major strategy behind this move on a consolidated basis, number one. Number two is we are looking at the OEM. We have Indian OEMs we are supplying on the auto powertrain and some of the major Indian OEMs also on the aluminum segment also. And we got some new businesses there also. But on the Japanese and the Korean majors, we don't have any exposure or we didn't get any breakthrough. With this, we are a key supplier, and I think strategically it's very important that we are looking at a customer who is today number three in the world. They have overtaken the earlier number three as a passenger vehicle manufacturer globally. And more importantly, this particular manufacturer, of course, is very, very strong on EV, even in North America, totally. So this is the idea behind our acquisition.
Got it. Thanks. I'll fall back in queue.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dhaval from Girik Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hello, sir. Hi.
Hello.
So a couple of questions from my side. So first would be, so you said the fourth quarter visibility for aluminum components, if you can comment on that. And also, overall, what visibility you have for FY24, across each of the segments? Yeah, this is my first question.
We don't give forward-looking statement as numbers or a guidance, but what I can say is the Q4 will be much better than Q3, and it will be better, much better than Q4 of last year. That's all I can say across all the three segments of the business. I think that's all I can comment and commit.
Okay. And on the industrial and engineering side, if you can give the breakup between storage solution and precision products.
Yes, I can give it to you. Storage quarterly turnover has been 80 crore in Q3. This was 111 crore on Q2, so we had a decline of around 30 crore on storage business for Q3.
Okay. And this decline would be because overall the industrial activity has been good. What has led to this decline?
Some of the major consumers, including retail as well as e-commerce players, the major two players in the country, one is multinational, one is Indian. Yes, they held back the investments and they're going to start doing it again only from January. This is the main reason. These are big ticket customers where big value was there. We are supplying to one of the customers, one of these two. So that is the major impact. I think the whole market has seen some contraction in Q3 when compared to Q2, but we'll see that coming back Q4 onwards, it will be more or less stable. One good thing is our percentage of automated solutions has as a percentage been increasing.
Okay.
So yeah, give you a number on this. An overall 277 crore on the storage solutions for the 9 months, The automated solutions have been 80 crore. This is the static solutions have been 197 crore. So that is a very healthy way forward. On the automated storage, the gestation periods are a little longer. The site readiness and the project finalization and implementation takes more time. So this will gather momentum as we move on.
Okay. And sir, how much will be the debt on the books, and how do you see the debt moving for the next three financial years? Post the acquisition, give some rough visibility. How do you see your debt moving?
So I will now put across mention the numbers. If you look at March 22, our debt was overall 716 crore overall as a company, and when we look at it net of cash for December 22, it is 650 crore, and when you look at the equal year on year on last December to this December, it is last December was 679 crore and this is 650 crore, so net of cash. So overall debt has I have to read the number differently. I'm sorry. Net of cash, the debt is 650 crore in December compared to 679 crore in March 22. So we have come down by 29 crore on debt, net of cash. But now we have taken some borrowing for the, I'm not going to reveal numbers now on the acquisition. But in spite of that, I think the operating leverage or the financial ratios are not getting adverse. I would say it is within line of slightly above last year. There's no need to raise any equity in the current situation, and the way we are going it by September itself, the on an annualized basis, it will be improved further in spite of the acquisition of DRX.
Okay, so this, so right now your gross debt would be roughly around 700 crores.
Gross debt has been higher, net of cash, because we have an FD which is a large amount. So net of cash is 650 is sub-December.
So your gross will be how much if you can say?
See, the problem is I don't want to. We have thought that the acquisition cost of something, and we have taken some loans. So there is a FD sitting there. That FD will either will be used to close loans or it will be used to pay off. Paid for the DRX acquisition. So this is real cash, not the cash which is as sitting as FD.
Understood. And sir, over next 2 year, 2 to 3 year period, how do you plan to repayment of the debt, or how will it move?
No, the acquisition finance which has been taken is over a period of 8 years, so 7-8 years. So we are seeing a repayment of only around 30-40 crore, and initially, there will be an interest outflow of 20-30 crore. We don't see that as a big subject. And also, that will put less pressure on Craftsman Aluminium Division to increase capacity on gravity die casting and low-pressure die casting, which is the only segment which DR Action is there. So, I think the capex cycle on aluminium will be much lower for Craftsman. So, in that way, you look at it, it is front end of the capex which is there. So the borrowing, if any, will be for maintenance capex and opportunities in the powertrain business mostly, and some in the industrial engineering.
Okay. Good. I'll come back in with you. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abhishek from Dolat Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity, sir. Sir, as you mentioned that intake, total debt has gone down to 6.5 billion. But if you see the this quarter number, there is a sharp jump on interest cost. So one reason is that there is an increase in the interest cost. What is the other reason, sir?
There are three reasons for it, Mr. Abhishek. One reason is, as you mentioned, 200 basis points, the interest has gone up, number one point. And number two is we have drawn down loan and put it as FD. There is quite a huge money. I mean, talking of upward of 300 crore. So the point is that is having an interest arbitrage which has affected a little for a few months, at least a couple of months. The third thing is the Forex one-time loss because of the exchange rate, which may get partially corrected in Q4 because it's a notional one which can go up and down. Already we are seeing rupee gaining a little now. So that is around to the tune of 5 crore. So that is an impact. These are the three major points which is affected the financial cost.
And as you are saying, sir, then, and in the coming year, you would like to repay your debt of 40 to 50 crores. But the acquisition of Dr. Adrin, that would be, cost would be around 375 crores to 400 crores. In that case, don't you think that your debt will increase to those 800, 900 or 1000 crores kind of the number?
As I mentioned that our debt is around 650 crore as of now. There will be cash generation in Q4, yes, and there will be outflow towards acquisition of DR Finance. And I have mentioned a number which in line with the EBITDA to debt. On that number, I think that number will be, we want to bring it down to 1, but we may remain at 1. It was 1.33 last year. We will be maintaining same 1.33 for this financial year also. We thought without the question, if you look at it, it would have been at very, you know, one, I think so. So 1:1.
And sir, what is your CapEx plan for the quarter 4 or FY23 and FY24?
FY24, the estimate will be between 325-350 crore is the estimate overall, is maintenance CapEx as well as CapEx. And Q4, I will not be able to say correctly, in the region of 30-35 crore it will be the CapEx, because some shipments of CapEx deliveries may come in March or may come in April. That may change the equation a little. So this is just an estimation.
So you are talking with the 300 plus crore CapEx for the FY24. Is it because of the acquisition cost? Or is it the excluding acquisition?
No, it's not the acquisition. Now look at standalone Craftsman. We were 1,500 crore 2 years ago. Now we have grown at least on the top line by 30-40%, and on the value addition rate maybe around 30-odd% year on year for 2 years. So the top line of around 3,000 crore is, the top line is doubled. So there has to be, there is capacity utilization is improving quarter on quarter, I mean year on year average. So we may run out of capacity if the market picks up in the next few quarters totally. So there may be some CapEx requirement apart from the maintenance CapEx, apart from capacity balancing. So the 2 years of CapEx, if you can look at the numbers of the 2 years of CapEx, it is around 550 crores, 550 crores for FY22 and FY23 combined. But the turnover has gone from 1,500 to maybe close to 3,000, I would say.
And this capacity addition could be mainly in the powertrain business, right, sir?
Yes, aluminium with only one or two equipments which on high-pressure die casting, which we still need to do, it is there. But mostly it will be on the powertrain business, because powertrain business by the size of the business is larger, number one. Number two is it's an older business where maintenance capex is also slightly higher than as a percentage of the total capex of the company. The third thing is capacity addition for the new water wind. Something we need to add that particular situation. Bulk of it will go to powertrain. And as you know, the powertrain business in the gestation period is not too much from the time of investment to the returns, which will be better for the shareholders. In that, in the earlier question, questioner asked me one particular question, why DR Axion? There is no time gap between the time of investment to the returns coming in. This is very, very important in this market condition where going for greenfield projects may be little more futuristic, and we want to create a base size not only on turnover and EBITDA numbers also to have a better momentum in the future.
Okay, sir. Despite fall in the iron cost and the battery mix, EBITDA of aluminium industrial engine segment continue to be under pressure. you had already done inventory correction in the last quarter as well. So, what kind of the EBIT margin visibility from quarter four or for FY 2024 from these two segments?
The aluminum segment is today still a very, very small segment on the top line. There, what happens is the 8 crore value addition reduction because of turnover reduction or demand reduction is changing the percentage very, very adversely. But you look at the absolute amount, it's been only 8 crore.
Okay. And that means the capacity utilization is quite low. It is not.
Quite low. Yeah. It is for Q3, it has been very low.
Okay. So, we don't see a better margin visibility until we get a better operating leverage.
No, for the full year, the margin will be far, far better than the whole of last year. So that is very, very sure because we have worked out our numbers. I don't want to give an estimate today, but I think we are growing on absolute value addition apart from top line and also on EBITDA as a percentage when compared to last year. And absolute EBITDA number also will be quite a substantial growth over last year.
And what is the issue with the industry?
Also, more importantly, ROC will be better compared to last year for this year.
And what is the issue with the industrial engine segment? This quarter, the revenue from the storage segment was lower despite the company is not able to make an EBITDA margin.
Sorry, the line is not clear, please, Mr. Abhishek.
So, what is the reason of industrial engineering segment lower EBIT margin despite the lower revenue from the storage segment? The company is not able to make a good EBIT margin. What are the challenges, actually?
Actually, there are no challenges. Actually, I mean, bunched up CapEx, capital goods, what we have manufactured for our own powertrain business, which customer has paid for, and also our aluminum machine that customers have paid for. So there, strategically, we have not added any margin at all to keep it will benefit the powertrain business as well as the aluminum product division. So that has bunched up in Q3. But otherwise, for annual basis, overall, for the nine-month period, we are looking at the pre-tax ROC for industrial engineering has improved from for the whole of last year, it was 10%. It now is 15%. And for a nine-month period, last year was 5%. It has increased to 15%. And the absolute EBITDA number also for the nine-month period is high. So full year, we will be doing better. Q4 will be having a reversal of this bunch-up. Actually, there's no challenge because the base is small. The product segment is wide. Any shift in the segment of the product sales will have an impact. That is the reason. So once we reach double or triple the size, we will not have this big variation on quarter to quarter. But now there will be big variation. Even 5, 10 crore can change a lot.
Thank you, sir, for your detailed insight.
Thank you, Mr. Abhishek.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Senthil Kumar from Joindre Capital Services Limited. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, good evening.
So congratulations, first of all, congratulations for the good set of numbers despite raw material cost pressure. I just want to understand what is the percentage of contract entails pass-through of raw material cost in our business, sir?
On powertrain business and aluminum business, it's a pass-through. There can be a little delay, one due to the either quarterly or monthly, whatever contracts we have because of the customer. There can be a delay because of the inventory, which can be adversely affected or positively affected. So we have seen the positive effect also coming in Q1, and we have got an adverse, the little adverse in Q2, Q3, and we will see some positive on the Q4. We are not having any problem about a pass-through on an annual basis. But you look on quarter to quarter, there can be a little mismatch between the buying time and the price correction time with the customer.
Okay. I understand that. So do we have any high-cost inventory in our books as on December 2022?
No.
Okay. So I just want to understand, what is the order book as on December 2022?
On powertrain and the aluminum product, we never have an order book. It is on a monthly schedule basis. It's some quarterly forecast. Actually, there's no purchase order as such. We have to see the portal or and supply. That is it. But the annual numbers of whatever our customers are there in the commercial vehicle, farm sector, construction equipment, the industrial engines, as well as passenger vehicle and two-wheeler, I think the top 10 customers are very, very clear for us. And the segment is we have got the prime products. So that is one, the newer products also. I think whatever growth or contraction happens, it will directly have a bearing on us. But on the powertrain business, we're adding new businesses. So contraction might not be affected fully, but growth will come in total for us. So even in the powertrain business, on a nine-month period, we have grown overall 39% compared to last year.
Okay. Okay.
For a nine-month period. But the industry has not grown that much, but why we have grown is of the new products which are also contributing.
Okay. 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 And last question is, what is the working capital cycle in terms of days, sir?
Cash conversion cycle is around 60 days.
60 days. Increased from 52 days from as on March 2022.
No, it has been for FY 2022, it has been also 62. Now it is 59.
59. So 59 decreased from 62. And lastly, can you give a breakup of revenue in terms of exports and domestic, sir? Now, especially the Europe market, your thoughts on that.
The overall sales for the export, just a minute, 91 plus 162 crore has been the nine-month export, direct export.
Okay. 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 Your thoughts on your visibility in Europe region, sir, market?
We are a little affected now for the exports to Brazil. There is political turmoil. So we have seen some contraction of 20% for Q4. But overall, on the powertrain business, we are growing quite strongly in Q4. So the small contraction is not going to affect us.
For FY 2024?
Pardon? FY?
FY 2024. For the next full year, what will?
Oh, for the full year, you're talking about FY 2024. FY 2024, we see powertrain business, aluminum business, industrial engineering business all growing in the range of 15%-20% compared to this year.
Okay. 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 Thank you, sir. That's it from my side. Thank you.
I mean, I'd like to make one statement. We have been always saying that we are going to grow at 20% CAGR from the time of IPO on this matter. I think we'll stick to that number. Some years we may grow more, some years we may grow less. But we will ensure, I mean, not ensure, we are working towards our promise about 20% CAGR.
Okay. So thank you. Thank you. Thanks very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Akshat Mehta from Sameeksha Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello?
Yes, please.
No, sir. I think majority of my questions have been answered. So if I have any questions, I'll come back and do it. Thank you.
Thank you much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Disha Sheth from Anvil Wealth Management Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible, sir?
Yes, please.
Yeah. Good afternoon, sir. Wanted to check what is your view on CV demand, two-wheeler, and PCR since we supply a lot of things to all the categories. How is the demand on the ground?
I would just like to make a generic statement without going to any specifics. I will also look at talking about only Q4 and the next financial year, not dwelling too much in the future because I think the OEMs are in a better situation to clarify all their plans. Going into Q4, the powertrain demand will be very high. Not very high means much higher than the Q3 or demand. Also on the aluminum segment on the two-wheeler. The reason being that it's pent-up demand both on the commercial vehicle segment as well as on the two-wheeler segment, but predominantly we supply. On the commercial vehicle segment, there is a real-time emission norms test which is applicable from April, and hopefully the government's regulations which are yet to be out may come out with saying that you could manufacture until the last working day of this financial year, that is March 31st, and sell it anytime during the next year. This may lead to not inventory, no OEM wants to keep inventory, but they might not abruptly stop production in early March and then affect the quarter sales. So we will have a smooth transition which is happening. There can be a little pre-buy and a little push in the market because of the real-time emission standards which are there on the commercial vehicle. On the two-wheeler segment, it cannot go lower than this. Yes, we have seen EV coming in. We also got business for EV, which is not substantial in numbers nor substantial in the products what we have. Our contribution towards EV as an aluminum segment is not that great. I mean, aluminum requirement is not so high, on critical parts I mean. There, we are waiting and watching because still it is a fragmented segment. We are with the at least one of the top three players in this segment. But still we find that the subsidy has got a very big role to play in the sales of these vehicles, numbers growing. At these numbers, yes, they will be able to sustain and grow. But I'm not very confident or sure that this growth can be, exponential growth can happen without government extending the subsidies for a few more years. So I would not like to comment anything beyond that. My knowledge is limited to this.
Okay. Thank you, sir. And sir, one more thing. You mentioned at the start that 20 crore, there was some loss of sale on aluminum products. Can you repeat that? I just missed that.
So there's no loss and all. No, reduction in sales. 20 crore top line reduction means that the value addition portion is 8 crore is the hit which you take. That 8 crore hit on a small top line, the percentage it goes topsy-turvy is what I tried to explain.
Okay. And sir, next year we have a 350 crore capex plan plus the higher debt which we took for acquisition. So sir, our cash flow would be affected, which would again lead us to take more debt. So how are we managing that? Any views on that?
I need to clarify that the EBITDA numbers for the 9-month figure is 499 totally. So you could analyze it or maybe slightly more than 9-month because Q4 is always a better number. Then we can apply some percentage which will do better than next year. So overall, I think the company will debt will reduce next year. Now when you look at the absolute debt, if you are minusing the DRXN acquisition payout which will happen, then debt would have in real terms itself would have reduced quite by 15-20% is what is my estimate compared to last year in spite of the capex what we have done this year. So the overall cash generation going forward, if any growth in absolute EBITDA number, the cash generation will be there. So we have we do not measure ourselves by debt to equity because that is not a right matrix. That will be looking very, very rosy. But I would say that next year we will end up at around 1.3 to EBITDA to debt, which is our target is 1. But because of the question, I think even this year we could have been 1 without the question. So next year we will be at 1.3 or better.
And sir, when we are guiding of 20% CAGR growth, so what margins do you think for FY24 are we are working on the range with when we take orders?
I don't see any margin expansion happening. There can be possibly the advantage or the tailwind of operating leverage. There is also a headwind of both the inflation overall and the product mix. So I think if we grow at 20%, we can nullify the inflation and we still manage the keep the margin margins intact is what we are hoping for.
23% is what we think it's intact.
So this 23% and product mix changing is many things. Some are the powertrain or job work, so which is not an apple-to-apple comparison. The margin will come only on our value addition. If there's any commodity price increase, it will be only the top line getting inflated, but our value addition will remain as the absolute number may remain the same. So we measure ourselves from the value addition of the gross margin or material margin, various terms are there. For accounting, that is what we measure on the our margins are.
Okay. And sir, last question, when you gave the numbers, auto powertrain value added is 249 versus what was it last year? Value added product was 249 this
year.
190 and for aluminum it was
242. Last year was Q3 was 190 on the value addition for powertrain, and this year it has been for the powertrain has been 249.
Yes, and aluminum same, it was 61 for this quarter. So last year how much it was?
Aluminum this year has been 61 crore for this quarter. Last year it has been 60.
Okay, and industrial again 58 this year, last year has been
48.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Pranay Roop Chatterjee from BCMPL. Please go ahead.
Hey, good evening, everyone. Am I audible?
Yes, please.
Yeah. Firstly, on the powertrain business, I think we had a slight margin contraction last quarter itself, and you had mentioned quite a few reasons like inflation, etc. This quarter, despite strong volumes, the margin is still sort of flat. Should we take number one? Why is this margin not improving the basis volumes in powertrain, and is this like the new normal in terms of steady state margins?
No, there is, we are looking at the top line and looking at it, the product mix, we have to look at again the value addition there. So if say Daimler business increases or some other area where we are doing some tractor parts where we are buying the castings, the percentage may look different. So what we have to see is the absolute growth in the EBITDA number when compared to last year. If you look at 9 month to 9 month, let us look at 9 month number. It is 302 has grown to 380.
Got it. Okay. Okay. So you are saying the quarter on quarter, month on month, there will be a difference because you are doing different kinds of work. So
yes,
margin will not make sense. You are saying we should look at the absolute number.
Yes, please look at the absolute number of value addition costs we have to remove. There will be inflation, there will be operating leverage to our advantage, inflation to our disadvantage. So with the growth happening, we will be hopefully nullifying. But the product mix change, that will have an impact positively and negatively depending on the, if we look at as a total as a percentage.
Okay, okay. Then secondly, on aluminum products division, I think you mentioned a few points on why the margin has moved how it has. My question is, what can we expect the steady state margins to be over here, after things sort of normalize? I can speak ex the DR exam, just your segment of the business. What is the sort of normalized level? And also on aluminum products, you had two large order wins. One was a 200 crore order and one was a 150 crore order. Any update on when we can expect which quarter the revenues will start coming in?
Already one of the parts is started. It is ramping up. And the other product will come in Q2 of next year. That is before the festive season on the passenger vehicle for the domestic customer. So both of it, we'll have a good benefit in H2, not in H1. A portion of Q2 and full of H2. That's what we look at. When you said when stability will come, the absolute EBITDA number or it has to grow. Then I look at the 100 crore EBITDA number is too small for aluminum division, which will be there in and around that particular number this year. And when you look at the, when we cross that 175-200 crore level, that is the top line also has to grow. It will grow in a couple of years. At that level, we will not have this bigger fluctuation for 5-10 crore. It may be that 1% may or not 2% may go up and down, but not as massive as this. The base being bigger.
Okay, fair, okay. Then on the INE margins, you mentioned, sorry if I got you wrong, you mentioned something around supplying some something to your aluminium and power trade divisions at zero margin, because of which the numbers were affected. If you can explain to me what the quantum of that was, let me understand better.
No, I would like to clarify, it is we didn't supply it to the division, we supplied to our customers who are paying for that equipment. That equipment is being placed in our auto parts division as well as our auto insert aluminium product division for the production of those parts for them. So the option is that we are one of the key suppliers in the country for such sort of equipment. So we had some repeat orders coming in, which the orders were first placed in 18-19, and the same product volumes have increased for this domestic passenger vehicle manufacturer. I don't want to refer names, but you may guess on this matter, where we were obliged to take it up at the same old price where there is no margin at all, totally. It is almost like COGS to COGS. But there is a 30 crore number which has come for this particular quarter. Everything has come this quarter. So if you knock off the 30 crore, then look at the EBITDA numbers, I think it is reasonable. So next quarter itself, we will see that change happening on that. On an annual basis, it will get more or less averaged out, or for a higher level of better performance.
Understood. And last question was on CAPEX. You already have given some color. If I'm not wrong, you mentioned 350 crores for the next year. Do correct me if I'm wrong. That is one. And the larger question is, how can I think about the peak asset turns in your individual segments? And this I'm speaking more from a medium-term perspective. So let's say, we assume a 20% CAGR in each of your segments, theoretically, over the next 4 to 5 years. How can we build in CAPEX accordingly? So I would need the
team. For you to build a model, then I have to give you certain raw numbers for you to understand, just the ballpark numbers. Our gross block is roughly around
3,000.
3071 crore, which might not be appearing in our annual reports. It may be reported lower because when we moved to Ind AS, the net block became the gross block. But our actual investment in plant and machinery is 3,000 crore approximately.
Okay.
So now with the net block of around 1,000...
2,520.
Net block.
2,280.
Net block. Now we can say that this number has given this year a top line of 3,000 crore. That means with this product mix, I will not, and maybe a value addition of around overall of 45% or something like that. I don't know. I mean, just speaking through whatever I vaguely remember. I don't want to you to hold me against this. But what I'm saying is, it's giving you a 0.5 on the value addition, totally, overall. So any incremental, when you have a depreciation of around 225 crore on the depreciation, then normally maintenance capex itself is equal to the depreciation. So when we are saying 350 crore, theoretically we are saying 100 to 150 crore, as 150 crore is the capacity expansion, see, it is happening somewhere, which is actually leading to 5% of the increase in gross block. Overall, totally. But we should not look at the gross block alone. We should also look at the net block. Net block is currently 1,675 crore. So we do 100 crore. It is practically on a 1,675 crore net block. It is, say, 6%, 7% increase in investment. So with that, we are able to manage to use CAPEX effectively to have a 15% to 20% growth.
Got it. Okay. Okay. And you mentioned next year 350 crores, right? That was the number. Yes. Okay. 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 Thanks a lot. That's it.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Joseph George from IIFL. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Am I audible? Sorry, I'm on the road. There might be some background noise.
Yes, you're audible. This is Joseph.
Thank you. So just one question. When I look at the aluminium business, if I recall correctly, about 3 or 4 quarters back, when you scale up to about maybe 700 crores or so, there is a potential for this business to generate about 17 to 18% EBITDA margin. But right now, when I look at this quarter, obviously it's about 10%, and you gave the explanation in terms of fluctuations of aluminum prices and all of that. But when all those things, the cost lines, RM, aluminum, etc., normalize, do you stand by what we had said 3 or 4 quarters back that this can be a 17-18% kind of EBITDA margin business?
Yes, I stand by, but before that I'll clarify the first detail because you're not so audible. On the 9-month year-to-date figure, the aluminium revenue has been 543 crore, which has yielded an EBITDA of 76 crore. So as a percentage, if you look at it that way, 76 divided by 553, sir. We are at 14%, 49 months, right? So this 14% will improve with the Q4, which is normally a good quarter overall. Yes, the scale is not sufficient. Operating leverage also is not sufficient. So with better operating leverage, I still stick to the statement of 18% EBITDA once we cross the 1,200 crore top line on aluminium product division.
Understood. Thank you. That's all I had. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Darshil from Sapphire Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you so much for my question. I think most of my questions have been answered. So I would just like to know if you could, just share something more about our new acquisition, in terms of a synergy or something that is expected. That would be very helpful.
Again, on the broader technical and strategy point, I will mention. Today, our aluminium business in Craftsman this year will be approximately around 800 crore, just for a ballpark number for you to understand. And in that ballpark number, it is predominantly 65% or something like that is coming from two-wheeler business at end segment. Balance is coming from some passenger vehicle, commercial vehicle and other industrial segment. Everything put together is around 30-odd percent, which is coming. So approximately, again, I'm talking in terms of time, not to give correct numbers. But if you look at it, the process what we are using for now specifically coming to the auto aluminium. The auto aluminium, our 90% of our sales or revenue is coming from high pressure die casting, and the balance is coming from low pressure die casting and gravity die casting. So we're predominantly there on the high pressure die casting. Now the acquisition, DR Axion doesn't have high pressure die casting in India. Of course, they have it in their parent company. We may do that there also, but that is a joint statement which we need to come out in the future. The synergy is that 100% of the DR Axion is today gravity die casting, which is 80% of that, and 20% is coming from low pressure die casting, again approximately. So it and 100% of the products are going for passenger vehicle segment. So this gives a very good equilibrium, and the half year sales has been 500 crore for this year. So hopefully they do better, and next year hopefully they grow. Yes, and we are also growing here. So this gives exact synergy for attracting more customers and Craftsman need not invest further in gravity or low pressure in a big way.
Okay, thank you so much, sir. And I just wanted to ask about our CAPEX plans. So with our 60% capacity utilization, what level would it reach maybe next year or something that we are targeting so that, you know, I would like to reframe the question. So when at what kind of capacity utilization could we reach our previous EBITDA of above 25%?
Please do not measure EBITDA as a percentage of the top line. Again, we're on the value addition only, because the product mix changes, the raw material costs, say for example, the value addition on certain customers, key automotive customers, where you're doing cylinder blocks, the value addition is only 20%. So our EBITDA will be, look at it, maybe around 6% on the top line, but on the value addition, it may be 25% or 30%. So I think better we look at from the value addition portion only. The second point of what when you said about 60% capacity utilization, that is on the aluminum segment, what we talked about. On the auto powertrain, it's very obvious that we have grown significantly in this particular year, and we cannot go beyond 80-85% because of the seasonality of some businesses and the line balancing which has to be done and customer peak demand. We have to meet the customer peak demand. So 80-85% is realistic. On a very, very good year, we may reach that level. But 70% to 80% is the nominal operation which may happen. And there in auto powertrain, we are almost reaching that level very soon. So with the maintenance capex, which is almost equal to depreciation of 225-250 crore, the overall capex, what we are saying is 350 crore, is the actual capex will be 100 to 120 crore, again spread over all the three segments of the business, but mainly in auto powertrain.
Oh, okay, thank you so much. That helps me a lot. All the best, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of T.S. Vijayasarthi from Anand Rathi. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir. Just one question. So if you look at the value addition figure that you have given, on the percentage terms, I think sequentially both powertrain and aluminium has maintained, but more so in aluminium side. Now, if the inventory cost is not factored in, then there is some impact in EBIT margin. But is there any other impact other than the inventory cost?
Because I think operating leverage is the major portion.
Okay. So, which means the EBIT margins for Q4 should move up for aluminium because the leverage
yes.
will come.
Yes, correct. Correct.
And this is pertaining to Q1 versus Q2, sorry for this. So powertrain business valuation had come down in taste terms. What was it about, sir? Could you help me understand?
Q1 to Q2 on auto powertrain?
Yes, sir.
Yes, there's a product mix change, Mr. Vijayasarvi.
So, is it because we had higher with material business?
No, we had different customers with material intensive taking more supply from us in that quarter.
So, that is unlikely to change? Is the proportion changed for...
Quarter to quarter, we may not be able to predict, but on an annual basis, there cannot be much change from one year to another year. There will be gradual shift because of the new orders coming in.
And the other thing which you talked about, that some of the products that were sold without margin, is it relating to...
There's the capital goods items where it is not related to the auto powertrain nor to the aluminum product division. It is due to the machines what we manufacture where our customers buy, and then we also get to use those machines for their production. There, in the interest of the entire activity, we have... foregone the margin and supplied to them at more or less at a marginal cost.
Is it related to development project or is it a commercial, proper commercial operation?
It is a capital goods sale to the customer where they give a purchase order and we supply the equipment to them. Yes, but there is some strategic advantage because this equipment is get to be used by Craftsman itself during the life.
Okay. But this is unlikely to change. I mean, this is likely to change in Q4 or how should we...
Volume or value is very less. It has bunched up in Q3, so it seems to be an aberration, especially with storage division not performing to the expected levels in Q3. So it looks lopsided. That's not going to continue. The division itself is not a very big division, so it is.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Khush Nahar from Electrum PMS. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, please.
Thank you for the opportunity. So my question was regarding the DR Axion acquisition. So basically the cost structure would remain the same with respect to the employee cost and the gross profit margins?
You have seen the numbers from public domain for FY22, or you are talking about something in for the first half of the current year? Which is the number you are considering?
For FY22.
FY22 number?
Yeah.
FY22 number, the operating leverage was not there. The new products there and gone into heavy capex in FY21 and FY22. So the operating margins has improved in H1 totally. So that is not representative. That was an impact. This impacted a year, I would say.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mukesh Sarab from Spark Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, good evening and thank you for the opportunity. Firstly, in some of the comments relating to VR action, you had mentioned about some EV components. So just wanted to check, are these motor housings, etc. that we are talking about, sir? The aluminum,
Mukesh, I would first clarify one thing. Today in Korea, South Korea, 30% of the passenger vehicle segment being made in manufacturing in Korea are EV currently. Mm-hmm. And today the customers for DR Axion in Korea as well as India, they are number 3 in the world as a passenger vehicle manufacturer as a whole.
Sure.
After Toyota and Volkswagen, they are number 3. This is for the last calendar year, which is a published number. The most important factor is in North American market, they are number 2 behind Tesla, totally. They are the highest selling EV products and well-respected EV products. So ever if EV comes to India or to any other place, we stand our... continuing shareholder in this case where we have a strategic alliance are making components for EV vehicles back in Korea. So it is, I have not visited them yet. So we plan to visit them in February. So we are still in nascent stage. The demand is still not there. And even whatever EV product is going to be manufactured in India, maybe the products or the assemblies may come from different countries. I'm not sure where it's going to come from. So when it matures, we'll have an opportunity to have the early bird advantage because the knowledge is already available with our...
Got it. Right, sir. Understood. And probably, you know, royalties, etc. might change based on these new products. Because the current royalty that DR Axion is paying, does it include these EV products or is there like a product agreement there, sir? Anything that you can share on that?
No, I cannot reveal beyond a certain point, but for the existing products, whatever we are doing, there will be no royalty to be paid. For the new products, it's a different story.
Got it, sir. And just one last one is on the tax rate. You still see that you're on the full tax, the earlier tax regime. So when are we moving to the new tax regime, sir?
We are at the crossroads now. It is the gaps are narrowed down to a single-digit number in crores totally.
Okay.
So, as we see it, most likely we may move to the new tax system. And we have to restate
for
the...
Okay, so 4Q itself you might have to move to that.
Yeah, fourth quarter it is likely to happen because it is narrowed down. And if we see a little advantage also, we will shift over.
Got it. Right, thank you for this.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Srinivasan Ravi for his closing comments.
Thank you very much for the engaging conversation and thank you for all the confidence in the past few quarters. And we are going to a very good exciting next year, I would say. The fourth quarter is also will be reasonably okay. Yes, surely we'll do good. But the point is we are poised for a better year next year. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Craftsman Automation Limited, that concludes this conference call. We thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.